Your voice.
Your life.
Your afternoon radio.
On 702 Afternoons.
With Relebogile Mabotja.
15 minutes to 2 o'clock. Play Africa, a leader in innovative children's education through play, announced its phase 2 of its My Constitution program that uses play to engage and educate children on concepts of equality, freedom, and human dignity. Now, phase 2, which is My Constitution 2.0, Empowering Young Voices, aims to include children in the conversation ahead of the upcoming 2024 elections in South Africa and highlight the significance of democratic participation. Joining us for this conversation, and we of course take your calls and questions on 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702, is the Managing Director of Play Africa, Mfana Futhi. Apologies, Acting Managing Director for Play Africa, Mfana Futhi Mbongwe. Mfana Futhi, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Greetings, and your listener. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited about this conversation because I remember the exact moment I got my first copy of the Constitution, and I still have that original copy. And we were in primary school, and one of the teachers in our lessons gave us all that book, the Constitution. But I think it may have been lost on us, being young children, the sheer significance of that Constitution.
That's true, I think I really anchor that, because for us, Play Africa, when we came to Cornhill in 2017, one of the powerful things we thought of was like the Constitution is like an evolving document and really symbolizes the future of children. What's the best way to actually get the children themselves to actually inform how this document evolves and actually speaks to their needs? But we also understood that a constitution is a book on its own for the age group we work with, let's say from 5 years to like 12 years, may not be as exciting or relatable if we approach it from a more rigid approach. So we introduced what we're good at, which is like play-based learning, how can actually make it exciting and relatable to children. So what we did from then, we introduced an amazing program, I think it was 2018 at the time, called My Constitution. It had like a playful dialogue and a voting exhibit where kids can actually role play and experience how voting works in a real case scenario, but doing it in a playful way and role playing a scenario. And then we built a mock-up courtroom where kids can take on different roles in the courtroom and understand the principles of democracy in that system. So that's how it all began, Relebogile.
So what are the key concepts you introduced to children first? Because how do you explain freedom without explaining apartheid, for example? Now, if you have a book for a five-year-old, the significance of freedom and the weight that word even represents to us as South Africans really can be truly understood by where we came from. Because if you just say freedom, it's just this abstract concept.
Yeah, so for us, it's actually amazing because we thought also it was going to be a really difficult topic or concept to relate to children. But we found that as we have groups and groups coming to Cornhill, children actually knew a bit about the history of the country, or at least they knew that at some point South Africa was never the same. So we really introduced it from like a democratic point of view, and just making an example that some of the things we have as children, like going to school, was not as easy, as accessible as it was. And then they would also understand the significance of people like Nelson Mandela, who really played a huge role. So it starts from there, but also make it relatable, just explaining what democracy means. If you're just choosing from, let's say, two flavors of chocolate or ice cream, what does it mean for children? Does it mean if a certain a huge group of kids love vanilla ice cream versus chocolate ice cream from a kid's perspective, what does that mean? Does it mean the other flavor doesn't matter? They'll of course say, no, it does. It's just their preference. And then we built from then, like building like the concept in a really light, age-appropriate manner, and then make them more playful. They could even vote for their favorite color of the South African flag, because kids would know their flag,
yes,
also know their color. So we really simplify it and make it exciting, accessible in that way. Also, our facilitators also really incorporate all the different ages and language, I mean the languages, to make it easier they can relate to all the kids in that particular day they're working with.
Are you finding though that in the process of trying to give, you know, children and young people voices in this, that there are many adults who are not aware of the things that live within the Constitution, that they're not aware of the things they are entitled to?
Very much so. And it was actually a parent who was actually mentioning when they saw the children during the last 4 days where we're at the Human Rights Festival at Constitution Hill. They were saying it's so interesting how, as an adult, you only get to see how the voting station looks like and how it feels. And it's so much, there's so much anxiety. You don't know what's the right thing to do and what's not. But when they saw kids actually being introduced in a fun way to that concept, like, oh, actually, this is so interesting, because when they get to that voting age, it will actually be more easier and relatable for them to actually partake in such a process. What's even more powerful is that they'll understand really the notion behind voting and the power it holds in the actually democratic system. So we really found a lot of parents who also do these programs when they are accompanying their children, or even teachers accompanying their group, school groups. They really find it so powerful that they wish they also had access to that, because they may know some of their rights on paper, but like when you relate them and actually explain how can actually practically stand up for your rights, or really stand up for your constitution, it really becomes a foreign concept for them. So it's really been such a case where some adults, even to this day, they also struggle to find out what's the power of the constitution, what it can do for them, and actually how does it even protect them despite all the challenges we might have in South Africa.
Yes, and I'm just wondering then, in the conversation that you have with children around rights, because if you are saying to a child you have a right to water, for example, but they know at home there's no water, you know, there've been challenges, particularly in 702 land, in Western Joburg areas with water, and many areas that have even been without water for much longer. How does that get explained to a young person that you said I have the right, but I don't have the water? What must happen?
It's actually so interesting, because there's a part in the Bill of Rights. For instance, if you say everyone has a right to housing or to education, there was even a child in Alexandra 2 weeks ago. We had like a nice session at a local organization called Sakimfundo. The lady, I think her name was, I forgot her name, Momo Judge or something, she said, it's so interesting that we have a right to education, but also in my township, I see kids who don't go to school and they are my age. And then we explain it in a child-friendly way, that just like every other law or in the constitution, that you have the right to housing, that government must make an effort to make sure that no one stays in the streets or doesn't go to school. There's something that says, of course, you also look at the resources, whether the government that has, to try and make sure that a majority of people do have access to that, or that's why we have like social services and other ways to try to make that happen. So we find, of course, a child-friendly way to explain that there's an effort. Of course, we need to push and make sure that the government hears our pleas and knows that we are lacking that right. But in the case that happens, there's also a factor that plays in, that there could be resources involved, maybe also someone who's supposed to be giving that right to us may be struggling to actually make it happen, or the timelines. So they kind of get it, but it also is always a question that they really like raise and say, but we don't see that. How do you make sure that more and more of other peers of our friends or our communities get to access that? Even safety, for instance, say we have parks, we're supposed to have access to safe spaces, but most of our public parks are not safe to access. So what do we do in that scenario? So we always have to explain that with every right, there's of course going to be some challenges, also some responsibilities expected from us and those who actually have been bestowed to actually make it possible. So we have to really understand the dialogue and navigate those questions from children as well, and answer honestly as possible that the reality of our country is that not everything that's on the constitution will automatically be available as much as we hope it could be. There, it's like work in progress.
So then how do you teach about, yes, you have rights, but they also come with responsibilities? Because we even know with the different news stories where people will say, for example, I have a right to freedom of speech. Yes, you do. But others have a right to not be discriminated against. So I can't sit here, you know, in the studio and say, I cannot stand people with blue eyes. Blue-eyed people are this, and this. You know, so how do you explain that even those rights come with responsibilities, because your right of freedom can be hinging on somebody else's right?
So I think for us, the baseline with my constitution, but also all the programs, whether it's STEM or creative arts, everything that graphic is about is based on empathy and actually building critical thinkers. So we always start from a base of empathy or kindness. We tell the children that, of course, you have a right to education and freedom of expression, but do you think that actually gives you the right to be a bully towards another person because you have a right to express yourself? So definitely not, because I would also not feel like I'm being treated kindly or fairly if someone is a bully, as much as they can express how they feel. But the moment they mock me or say terrible things about what they don't like about me. So I think for us, everything starts from like a foundation of empathy, kindness. How can you impact that in children and really share those principles? Then you build from that, because then it's easier to understand that with every right you have or have access to, there's also that responsibility to understand that the person next to you, your friend, your peer, your schoolmate, also has the same access to those rights. So that's actually where we build it on empathy more than anything.
And I think that is such a great way of using concepts like bullying that are quite relatable to young people. Have you ever, you know, in these engagements found that children are bringing up things, or young people are bringing up things that may have been left out of the constitution, or that maybe the adults should be listening to and taking to consideration? I think we know as South Africans, we have one of the best constitutions in the world, but I doubt that while it was being developed, you know, they were talking to 5 and 7 year olds about what they want included. But now they have voices and they can engage and share. What have you sort of heard from these engagements with these young people that intrigued you enough to say, oh, maybe this is something that should be considered?
So for us, I think the recurring theme, if I can think for the last 3 years, I think with my constitution, but also other programs like design thinking, where we get kids to share with us what their ideal world or country is. One important thing is, like, if one of our biggest work is on really making safe spaces for children to learn and play, especially in their growing ages. And sometimes you think from a governmental point of view, when you think about children and development, you must have like parks, or like certain spaces that accommodate children. But for us, we always hear children saying, we have schools, yes, they tick the box of education, but the environment itself, for us, we are looking for safe spaces where we can feel like, not only from a physical state point where we say, can you have a park, have a school, but how do you make those spaces more child friendly, more safe, in that we feel welcome, we feel like we're in that space, it really is catered for us. Also, they feel like sometimes adults, they're like, we know what children want, they decide for them, but they never really care, because for us, most kids actually indicate that safety is a big thing, because I think abuse is really a big thing in South Africa. So kids are like, we love everything you can build for us as kids, but if it's there without safety and really protection as a cornerstone, then for us, it's just in ways, but not practicality. Also, there are education. So we love education. We love books and lesson plans. But how can also introduce certain elements of learning that are more exciting and make us more creative, that we can also explore our other sides of learning and exploring as well? So that's been mostly the key things that have been coming up, that maybe we have not found a way to put them in paper in terms of nitty-gritty, how kids feel and what might actually change in the constitution.
So what's great is, of course, there are different events, family play days that get hosted by Play Africa. There are educator workshops. You can get a free My Constitution teaching curriculum and resources. And of course, there are different ways to access the teaching curriculum. What would you like to share with all of the listeners that maybe you would like them to know about Play Africa?
Okay, I think so. I'll just split it into parents, educators, and just the general public. I think if you are a teacher, especially teaching the little ones from like ages of 5 to 12 years, I would say if you'd love to actually carry on this type of work, like civic awareness and really building empathy and such really skills, definitely you can go to our website. We've got a section, www.playafrica.org.za. We've got a section called Free Resources. You can download and use those resources freely. And they are developed in such a way that you don't need fancy items or anything fancy at the school, where you can just do it with kids, because it allows that anyone who cannot access Play Africa can do it wherever they are. That's from a teacher's point of view. And then for the parents, every Saturday we've got different things that are tailored made for parents, because we know most of their availability on Saturdays. Every Saturday from 9:30 till 2, we mostly open for parents to come through with their children to actually explore the space, not only my constitution, but also other creative learning, exhibits from STEM to creative arts as well. And then for the other schools in general, we also can actually book a field trip and come to Play Africa Constitution Hill, can go to our website and just phone our number. There's a booking form, or just reach out directly if you need assistance with that process.
And then I think we'll have to leave it there, Mfana Futhi. The website is playafrica.org.za. Thank you so much for your time.